uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Josh Reeves, thanks for being with us here tonight for another live edition of the broadcast. August 23rd into the 24th, 2011, and we're going to be getting into some various news items for you here on the show tonight, and emails as well, different topics of discussion, lots to talk about here tonight. That's for damn sure. No shortage of stuff, and we're going to do our best to get into all of it here for you on the duration of the broadcast tonight. Love to hear from you as well. If you have emails you want to send in, if you want to have stuff, or topics or anything you want to hear me talk about on the air, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to get into those on the show for you here tonight. Thanks for joining us. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's theglobalreality.com. We have the news section up there. We got lots of news every day. Get posted up there. You can listen to, you can go and look at. Manhydra does a pretty good job of getting most of the stuff that I talk about here on the show up there. And so you can get up, go up there and check out news. Obviously, you know, Blackwater's checking out our news section, I guess. That's always nice to know. And links to listen to the live streamer up there. There's always stuff streaming on the network pretty much 24 hours a day. So you can always tune in if you're not listening. If you know, if you can't listen while you're at, you know, while you're at work or something, or asleep or something live, you can listen to it any time of day, and we'll rebroadcast the show from shows from the night before. And generally on the weekends, we'll do a marathon of all the shows from that week. So there's always different stuff playing 24 hours a day over here on the network. So definitely be sure and check out the live stream and tune into the network any time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My documentaries are up there at the website as well. You also have video clips from the show and different stuff like that. And it's all up there at my website, theglobalreality.com. Also have the Chip and Banner donate button to support our work there. And so please do that as well. Let's see here. Obviously, we've got the big it's insane craziness going on with the earthquake today. And we've had the shutdown of a Virginia nuclear plant. I'm going to be talking about all that. This ties in just hand in hand with a lot of stuff we've been talking about over the past few months. And we've got a lot of indicators here of something going on pretty deep. So I want to talk about that as well as we've got a hurricane on the way towards Florida. I got an email from a listener that which points out a lot of the interesting correlations between these two events. So I'll be getting into that. We do have a few emails here tonight. So again, I'd like to have emails from you as well while we're live. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. It's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Let me let's see. I want to see what. Oh, here it is. This is from George. George says, "Hey Josh, I just wanted to mention the mythology and astrology tied into the earthquake and building hurricane today. Irene is supposed to be one of the Horare, the goddess of peace. Ha ha." Zeus is slinging his dick everywhere. He should be in the lost book of Enki. Horae, the goddesses of the seasons, of cyclical death and rebirth, sometimes of social order, usually given as three in number with the names Dyke, Justice, Eunomia, Order, and Irene, Peace. In Greco-Roman mythology, any one of the personifications of the seasons and goddesses of natural order in the Iliad, they were the custodians of the gates of Olympus. According to Hesiod, the Hurrah were the children of Zeus, the kings of the gods, and Zeus is also known as Enki. These guys lived so long that they took on different personifications, and Zeus is Enki is also known as Zeus, so there you go. The king of the gods and his Anthemus and Titanus, and their names were Eunomia, Dike, Irene, Good Order, Justice, Peace, and indicate the extension of their functions from nature to the events of human life. At Athens, they were apparently three in number, Thallo, Oxo, and Carpo, the goddesses of the flowers of spring and of the fruits of summer and autumn. Their yearly festival was the Horora. In Homer's Iliad, there were the gatekeepers of Olympus. In the Homeric hymn to Aphrodite, they greet Aphrodite at her birth and accompany her to Olympus. They first appear in art on the Francois vase, 570 BC, which shows them attending the wedding of Palaeus and Thetis. In the Hellenistic and Roman periods, the Horari became the four seasons, daughters of the sun god Helios and the moon goddess Selenine, which represented with the conventional attributes. Subsequently, when the day was divided into 12 equal parts, each of them took the name of Hora. As for the earthquake, it was in Virginia, and the Virgo sign started today in the zodiac. What a fucking coincidence. Also at the epicenter was, the epicenter of the earthquake was at Mineral, Virginia. Well, that's a lot like Minerva. And VA is the abbreviation for Virginia, so Mineral, take, drop the L, add the VA onto it, and you got Minerva. That's quite a catch, my friend. It's hard for me to deny. Yeah, I mean, boom, I can't deny. There you go. There's Minerva. Yeah, you got it. It's Athena, or in other words, Isis. The dollar sign proxy for the sacred feminine. These guys are good, but so are we. You're goddamn right. Minerva, ancient Roman goddess of wisdom, later identified as Athene. Yeah, that's... And, you know, you saw the stuff we did with the Winehouse thing. And I'd said from Jump Street, you know, they offed her. This was a ritual. And we put out the video, the Winehouse Templar ritual video. If you haven't seen that, it's up on YouTube. It's on my website as well. Lo and behold, comes out today, Amy Winehouse. No drugs found in her system. A little bit of alcohol, no drugs found in her system. And still we had the reports from paparazzi and several witnesses that had seen her 24 hours before her death with some unidentified mystery man. You know, she had cameras on her all the time, and people got pretty used to knowing who was who, and then they no one in her family, nobody knows or can identify who this mystery man was that she was with 24 hours before death, and now the toxicology reports come back and say they can't find what killed her. Well, that's, there you go. The intelligence agencies use things that kill people that don't leave any kind of a trace. They've had that for decades. It's not anything new. So what George is saying here is that what we have with this earthquake and this hurricane simultaneously appears to be some sort of massive goddess ritual happening right at the beginning of the start of Virgo on the zodiac today. I can't deny that. But I want to say this. This is my real question. And this is something I'm leaning more towards more and more every day. Number one, we have talked about extensively here on the show that the idea, the reason we've seen all this propaganda and not just propaganda, but again, propaganda doesn't always have negative connotations, but we've seen propaganda, we've seen psychological operations, we've seen all kinds of stuff pertaining to the extraterrestrial and UFO issue recently. Always that the aliens are hostile, always that the aliens are a threat to us. It's always their common recurring theme, even though we don't have any evidence to support that idea. But they constantly push that on us. If extraterrestrials were to contact us, the only reason they would contact us is because they would be hostile. And that, again, coincides with the complete just slander of what Wernher von Braun, Dr. Wernher von Braun, ex-head of the Nazi space program, brought over here to head up NASA, Project Paperclip, what he told to Secretary Carol Rose in the final days of his life. And I misquoted that in the past before myself, you know. But once I found out the from the horse's mouth and started going back and listening to interviews with Carol Rosen and listening to what von Braun actually said, the predominant view in the Patriot movement and the Truth movement research communities that von Braun said they were going to stage an alien invasion after the first threats of communism and terrorism and asteroids and all that stuff. But that's not actually what he said. He said they were going to tell us that these extraterrestrials that were coming to try and stop the way that humankind's are existing with, you know, pollution and nuclear energy and nuclear weapons and all this stuff, they were going to come and start messing with that and trying to change that so that we didn't destroy ourselves, and that they were going to tell us that these aliens that weren't actually hostile were hostile, so we would unite together and weaponize space to give them total control. And he was scared shitless, you know, in the final days of his life when he was dying of cancer talking about this. But see, people have taken his words and twisted around and said that he said they were going to stage an alien invasion. That's not exactly what he said at all. And we've seen over Chernobyl, massive UFO sightings over Chernobyl, massive UFO sightings over Fukushima. We've had dozens and dozens of stories through the years of UFOs being seen over nuclear missile silos, UFOs being seen over nuclear power plants. But it wasn't until recently that we started to hear reports of people from whistleblowers and supposed extraterrestrial contactees, different people like that, who have been saying that, look, they are coming and they're trying to mess with our, disarm our nuclear weapons. They're trying to shut down our nuclear power plants. They know we're heading towards something, and this is why they're doing it. And, you know, I've seen that said a lot. And it does kind of sound like it's out there and kind of kooky, but is it? Or is are we being conditioned to think that the idea of that sounds kooky? I can tell you, you've got to question anything and everything that becomes like the accepted meme in like the research community now. Because everything I've looked at seems that almost everything that people have tried to become like the accepted, you know, what is the accepted parameters of the research community? All those things have turned out to be complete frauds. So I think we better look at this twice and make sure this isn't either, because we've seen evidence that they are messing with our nuclear power plants, that they are messing with, there's photographic. I'll bet you a dollar. Somebody needs to check MUFON or some of these sites for signings, but I bet you a dollar there were signings. I mean, we're going to come out with, there's going to be YouTube videos and everything else and pictures coming out of UFOs. Probably there's massive UFO bases all around Virginia. They've got black op bases all around Virginia. They've got, what's that one underground facility where they run continuity of government stuff at? Black something Virginia, Blackbird, Virginia, or I can't remember where it's at. It's a military installation, big DOD installation underground. They've got all kinds of black ops stuff. There's been, I mean, that's a hotbed. Virginia is a hotbed for UFO sightings, folks. Has been for quite some time. Remember that story we talked about a couple of years ago where people all around the area were seeing UFOs? I think it was about a year ago. Right in that same area of Virginia, there were massive hotbed for UFO sightings in the past couple of years. And there was one lady who was pretty sure that this was some sort of government operation, because she was sitting there in her house one night and this hologram of Jesus appears in her house. And she was thinking to herself, you know, whoever's doing this is probably not aliens, because they're not very smart. So this could only be people doing this, because, you know, they figured, well, they're out there in Virginia. They're out there, you know, if this is black ops, blue beam type stuff, hey, you know, most of these people out here are Christians. You put a realistic hologram of Jesus in their house, they're going to believe they saw Jesus. But little do they know, the woman who had this image of Jesus appeared in her house was happened to be Jewish, so she knew right away that it was a that, that it was a scam. This was all around that same area. So it very well could be that this is what we're going to see as the backstory for why we have to arm ourselves against alleged hostile aliens. I believe this is what they're going to do. I think they're going to come out with that. I think they're going to tell us, you know, they caused Fukushima, they caused the oil spill in the Gulf. They're trying to mess with our way of life, so we need to, you know, unite the world and weaponize space so we can find all these aliens who want to, you know, mess with our way of life down here on Earth. I mean, everything else von Braun predicted in the early 1970s has come to pass. We've seen the threat of communism come and go and be repeated and repackaged. We've seen the third world crazies he's talked about when all over the place. We've now been told that we're going to have to send manned missions to make sure that asteroids don't slam into us. We had the UN create the Intergovernmental Panel on Near-Earth Objects about a year or so ago. I mean, for von Braun to make all those predictions and all that stuff be, you know, bullshit, I find it funny that so many of these things happened and exactly how he predicted them way after his death. And he was said to have been scared shitless when he was talking about the final card. He would be shaking and very upset and nervous about it when he talked about them playing the final card of telling us that these non-hostile extraterrestrials that are really trying to get us to not destroy ourselves are a threat so we can weaponize space, and he seemed very scared about that. And you gotta believe the reason he was so scared about that is he knew that these guys were going to make it happen. And he probably also knew that the consequences of us fighting and destroying another race of people from wherever they may be on the basis of a lie that probably scared him even more. Because if that goes down that way, folks, if we're told that, oh, you know, hostile aliens are coming, I think it's going to happen any day now. Be ready for it. Have your bullshit detectors ready. I have no doubt that I think any day now they are going to come on television and they're going to start telling us that UFOs are real and they're here and you know, we've got to unite to fight them. They've been pushing that meme and pushing that so hard. And so go back to the email here. George points out all these zodiacal and these various Roman mythology tie-ins with the earthquake and with the hurricane that's now heading towards Florida. And I think that our common belief as researchers, we all sort of fall into this, is that because of these connections, this proves that the people in charge and people in charge of the governments and people that run the world are definitely behind this earthquake and definitely behind this hurricane, and they're probably using HAARP to do it, right? That's probably the predominant view of people in the research community right now. But again, what if that's the view that someone wants us to have? And not only that, you have to look at this beyond just the microcosm of Earth anymore. We have too much evidence for us to try and look solely on terra firma for the heads of this entire world system. It's very difficult for a lot of people, for most people, to be able to do that. But when you understand that, according to ancient Sumerian texts and a lot of the stuff we read from the Lost Book of Enki now, where did mankind get the knowledge of the stars and the knowledge of it, most of this stuff and astrology, it all came from these sky gods, extraterrestrials. So, if the elite of now that are running the planet know this zodiacal stuff, and they do things surrounding it for that reason. Who else knows about it? Well, the people that brought it to mankind. And as some people have speculated, as the email we got from Zohair that we read last night on the show, Zohair indicated that because of the age that they live and the fact that they never left Earth, very well could still be here today, to this day, still running in steering world events. And that is the real reason why you see this symbology, why you see these operations carried out to a T on such and such dates. Not because the elite and the secret societies and the priestly classes and all this garbage, not because they're mere mortal men have this knowledge and are steering it this way, but because the gods themselves, the sky gods themselves, the Anunnaki, are still here, probably underground, and they are still running and controlling things right now to this day. Very well could be. I think that's probably more the reason why these things are, would explain more why the precise accuracy of these various different events being carried out exactly when to an astrological T, or exactly to, you know, these. The Romans had these rituals in this way for a certain reason. Where did they get that knowledge from? Well, exactly. They got it from the same people, the gods. And these gods, of course, don't appear to come from Earth. So that's what we start to see, is more and more we're starting to see the mythology being broken down. We're starting to get more concrete evidence for what this really is when you really look at what they're saying. So great email there. I've got a few more emails here I want to read tonight. GoldbergRealityShow@gmail.com if you want to get some in here for me to read. Love to have one from you. Let's see. Kirk from Australia says, "G'day, mate. Just thought I'd let you know I reckon your show is great. I grew up in the middle of farkin' nowhere, Australia, and was wondering if you have ever heard of what we call Min-Min lights or Jack's lanterns. They're these balls of light about the size of a person that follow you around." Now, see, I've heard people talk about this. My friend Delphi has seen some stuff like this out in West Texas, I think. I've heard people talk about things like that here. Yeah, they're like these balls of light, and they follow you around, and when you talk to them, they seem to, you know, be sentient and know that you're watching them and talking to them. I mean, you know, what are these things? But I do know, yeah, I have talked to people who have seen those same stuff here in Texas, Kirk, so yeah. "One followed me on my bike when I was about 11. I jumped off my bike and told it to piss off and flashed an intense light. It flashed an intense light and then did what I asked it to do. Scared the shit out of me. Growing up, I've seen some weird shit. I've never seen a saucer, but me and a few of my mates saw on two occasions a huge cigar-shaped ship in the air. Mate, I'm loving listening to the Lost Book of Enki and have been reading Sitchin stuff for years. Just love how you incorporate Star Trek into it. Laughing my fucking ass off. Good. Keep up the good work, mate. And I'd like to donate to you guys soon. Thanks, Kirk." Hey, great. Thank you, Kirk. Appreciate that. We got a lot of, I got to say good day to everybody down there in Australia. We got tons of listeners in Australia now. I've gotten like 10 emails from people in Australia in the past week. What's going on down there, man? You guys having a mass awakening down there? I'd love to go to Australia. Ugh. I hear the plane ride's a bitch, though. Oh, man. Let's see what else. "Greetings, Josh. I'm a listener of your nightly program. Kudos to you. I am a baby boomer, and not all of us are asleep. Turn a blind eye nor think that we have seen it all or know it all. I am very much in touch with the issues you discuss on your program. I don't mind your language either. You're just keeping it real as far as I'm concerned. I also listen to Alex Jones." Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no.
"Suck Satan's cock."
"However, I am not one of his Kool-Aid drinkers." Well, that's good to know. "Take what I use, discard the rest, and I just want you to know that I enjoy your program. Except for some of your music, I bang my head to the bleeding point." Well, we have a lot of metalheads in our ranks. I'm not a huge metal guy myself. I like some bands, few certain metal bands, but I usually play different types of music, and people, I like, you know, indie rock, and I like different stuff like that. And a lot of people don't like that stuff. So, I try to play what the listener tell me they like. So unless I'm not going to play some stuff that people tell me to play, I'm like, fuck you, I'd never play that. But, yeah, there you go. I don't always play stuff. It's always not for me that I'm playing it. You know, a lot of people like different stuff. So I have a son a couple of years older than you are, and he's oblivious to the world around him, as I'm finding quite a few younger ones of your generation are only interested in self-serving agendas. Well, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, during the 90s or when my generation was growing up, that's what everything was programmed. You know, everything was programming towards that. So people fell into. For years, I have been informing others of the global elite, the secret government, and those who don't mean this planet any good. Most people look at me as if I have two heads growing from my neck. All will be revealed very soon. I hope they are ready. The three earthquakes that occur within 18 hours of each other on 8/23 is merely another sign of the times. Actually, my research showed me that there were two earthquakes in Colorado instead of the one that is being reported. Oh, so we've had earthquakes in Colorado being reported. See, I hadn't heard about that. I wasn't aware of that. I did know that we had a 7.5. This one hugely underreported. On Saturday, we had a 7.5 earthquake off the Pacific Island. So, yeah, in the Pacific Ocean's hugely underplay. But I had not heard of the earthquakes in Colorado. Let me do a search of this. Earthquake shakes Colorado 44 minutes ago. So this must just be breaking. Okay. The strongest earthquake to hit Colorado in more than four decades startled thousands of residents along the New Mexico border as it toppled chimneys, cracked walls, and triggered minor rock slides in the arid mountainous region. No injuries were reported Tuesday. So this just happened. Holy shit. Oh, man. Well. Oh, lordy, 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 folks. It's about to get real interesting. You know this. You've known this. And, you know, as much as you prepare for it, as much as you know it's coming, man, it still doesn't quite stop the shock when it actually does start happening, does it? Man, we're here now. I was not aware of that. So we had, let me go back to this other story from the Virginia earthquake. This comes from, Reuters today. Strong East Coast quake, highly unusual. Now, they're using that terminology there in both cases now, aren't they? Strong East Coast quake, highly unusual. The strong earthquake that rattled the eastern United States on Tuesday was highly unusual in its severity, though it was centered in a part of Virginia known for smaller quakes. Now, that's the same terminology they're using over here in the San Francisco Gate Chronicle article. The strongest earthquake to hit Colorado in more than four decades. There you go. Monday night's 5.3 magnitude quake struck just hours before a 5.8 magnitude trembler in Virginia, also rare for that area, shook much of Washington, D.C. and the East Coast. Small aftershocks rattled the region about 180 miles south of Denver, but caused no further damage. This was the first time you could see the fear in people's eyes, said Dean Moulter, 39, who was with his brother Ray, who owns a big four country store in Valdez, a former coal mining town of about 100 people in Colorado's Picket Wire Valley. The quake hit at 11:46 p.m. local time Monday, about 9 miles southwest of Trinidad, according to the U.S. Geological Survey's National Earthquake Information Center in Golden, Colorado. It had an estimated depth of 2.5 miles and was felt in a relatively large area of the southern Colorado and northern New Mexico. The earthquake was the largest in Colorado since a magnitude 5.3 trembler was recorded in Denver's northern suburbs in 1967. In New Mexico, the town of Raton, already hit this summer by fire and flooding, was abuzz about Monday's quake, which included a smaller foreshock at about 5:30 p.m. And I told you, you know, there was an earthquake, or I felt that there was an earthquake. Maybe it was a dream, maybe it wasn't. And then found out that the very next day, a few hours after I had that dream, there was an earthquake just a few miles from my house here in Dallas. This was like 2 weeks ago. Unbelievable. So going back to the, she says, going back to her email, she says, all will be revealed very soon. I'm only hoping they are ready. So she's saying that there are three earthquakes that occur within 18 hours of each other on 8/23. So where did the other one happen? Anybody have any leads on where the other earthquake happened at? Oh, here it is. I've got it. San Francisco. Oh man, some of you guys who do the, you know, look at ley lines and all this shit and look at, you know, collecting lines. You guys need to get on this. Magnitude 3.6 earthquake shakes San Francisco Bay Area. A small earthquake is shaking the San Francisco Bay Area. The U.S. Geological Survey says a magnitude 3.6 earthquake struck at about 11:36 p.m. on Tuesday night. The quake was centered about 6 miles southeast of Oakland. It was also felt by people across the bay in San Francisco. My goodness. So one in Colorado, one in San Francisco, and one in Virginia. I don't even know what to say. I bet you got there's your Trinity right there. You've got, you know, the Trinity. A three, that's and it happened in Trinidad, Colorado, is where they happened at. So three earthquakes. Well, I guess we can close the book on this email here from Brenda. Oh, read this on your program if you want without mentioning my email address or my name. Oh, well, I didn't say your last name, Brenda, so yeah, I'm not sorry about that. I didn't get that far in the email. Well, I'm sorry, but I didn't see your last name, so nobody will know who it is. So three earthquakes, one of which happened in Trinidad, which of course is Trinidad means Trinity. Trinity is three earthquakes. Boy, oh boy. See, again, you know, what is this? You guys really think the government stooges running the heart facility? You guys really think that they're the ones doing this? I feel this is much bigger than terrestrial terra firma, you know, government black ops and stuff like that. Maybe it's supposed to feel that way. I don't know. But we've known for, you know, we've had 10 years now to come to grips with the fact that the things that we were going to see over the next decade, we're going to make 9/11. By the time these other things happen, we wouldn't even remember 9/11. That's coming. Unbelievable stuff there. Three earthquakes happening. I'm blown away by that. Cracks discovered in the Washington Monument. Cracking was found in the stones atop the Washington Monument Tuesday evening, the National Park Service reported. The National Park Service temporarily closed the Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial. Now, very, very interesting that we continue to see it. It seems like I think about the Twin Towers coming down, Jacket and Boaz, the destruction of that. Washington Monument cracks and gets destroyed. We've seen all these movies where these, you know, the Great Pyramids get destroyed by aliens, all these different Masonic things. That's just very interesting. Something very dark and below the radar, beyond most people's normal way of thinking is going on. Unbelievable stuff. Let's see if we have any more emails here. This one says, "Hey, Josh, love your show. In the last 2 weeks, you've been at the top of your game." Thank you. I can't listen live, but I'll listen to the podcast a day or two later. Early last week, you mentioned about them spraying at night. And at that time, I had just snapped this photo of the full moon rising right at a huge prolonged trail. Oh, that's a good picture, man. He said, sorry, the quality's a little grainy, but it's good enough you can see exactly what goes on morning, noon, and or night. So, excuse me for being a lousy financial situation. Otherwise, I'd donate something, especially with a yearly membership or something like that. I mean, if you had a members-only section or something like that, I would much rather contribute to your truthful cause than a turd like Jones or a mainstream maggot like Rush Limbaugh. Thanks for your work. All the best. Billy H., just outside of Philly. Thanks, Billy. Billy in Philly. Yeah, that's exactly what's been going on. I've noticed it more and more. People have been saying, I got an email from people saying, you know, did you notice that the chemtrails were, there weren't very many chemtrails during the heat wave in Dallas? And I said, well, yeah, not during the day there weren't, but when you're a 9-to-5 working, slave job stiff and you're not moon batting it up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, going outside to smoke a cigarette, you're not seeing what I'm seeing at night in the sky. And I see the big blanket at night. So they've still been spraying chemtrails. They just haven't been doing it in broad daylight as much. It's a change in the operation. That's kind of the biggest descriptive term, I think, for everything going on right now, isn't it? The change in the operation. All the operations are changing, guys. Notice this? They're shifting the operations again. Remember the big shift in operations that took place right after Bush left and Obama came in and everything started, you know, there's a big shift going on. Everything was kind of moving around within governments and within media and everything. And then it kind of settled and set and has kind of been that same way for a while now. Now it's starting to be in play again. It's moving around. That tells you right there that there is some stuff happening. Lee Rogers dropped this in the chat room earlier. Is Alex Jones for real? Written by Mike Adams. What a turd. The Health Ranger. I'm the Health Ranger. I like Alex Jones is great. Let me tell you something, Health Ranger. You need to lay off the PCP-laced trail mix, okay? You can't put patchouli in a crack pipe and smoke it. That's all I'm saying. Authenticity in every sentence. Oh, my God. This is just, it's disgusting. I can't even read this. I just want to yak. That just tells you who he's working for. Mr. I'm on GCN. Sri Lanka deploys military to quell unrest over a strange urban legend. So all this weird stuff going on with these earthquakes, on this, you know, extraterrestrial stuff. Now you got this going on. Sri Lanka yesterday deployed soldiers to quell unrest sparked by fear of nighttime prowlers known as grease devils. Grease devils? After at least 5 died over the past 2 weeks in a wave of vigilantism and clashes with police across the island nation. Sri Lanka's army also set up a new brigade in Kininya near the eastern part of Trincomalee, where thousands of angry people last week besieged a government office after a fighting with the Navy in pursuit of a suspected grease devil. What? So thousands of people stormed government office buildings, freaking the fuck out because they'd been fighting with the Navy against this, whatever this is, demonic entity, extraterrestrial grease devil. I mean, this is insane. The increased deployment came a day after a mob killed a police officer in the northwestern town of Puttalam. The northwestern town of Puttalam. Troops have remained out in force since Sri Lanka's government won a 25-year civil war in May 2009 with the Tamil Tiger ethnic separatists. The military and the police are doing the patrols in the towns and the areas affected by the incidents in the east, northwest, and north. Military spokesman Brigadier Nihil Hapatatakatapatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat More than 30 incidents of violence and vigilantism have been reported in 8 districts of the country, primarily in areas inhabited by minorities or Tamil people, as the government and opposition trade blame over the phenomenon. Traditionally in Sri Lanka, a grease devil was a thief who wore only underwear and covered his body in grease to make himself hard to grab. He can't get me. He can't get me, Kappa, see? I'm slick, see? I bathed in grease before I went on this job, see? Kappa, you never catch me. Kappa, you never can be alive. You can put your hands on me. I'm hard to grab, man, see? I'm a slick rat. The new iteration has a more sinister reputation as a prowling attacker of women. Grease devil. Well, that's a new one. Put that one on the board. That goes up there with a skunk ape in my book. The Mexican government is releasing state-held secrets about the end of the Mayan calendar to the makers of a documentary, Revelations of the Mayans 2012 and Beyond, the Rap Has Learned. This is from Reuters, actually. Wow. The information, protected for 80 years, is expected to reveal Mayan beliefs in future catastrophes and wisdom characterized as shocking. Producer Raul Julia Levy, son of actor Raul Julia, told The Wrap. The end of the Mayan calendar in December 2012 has long given rise to theories and speculation about the end of the world. The agreement will allow Julia Levy to film in never-before-seen locations. The Mayans used to construct one pyramid over another. Tourism minister for the Mexican state of Campeche, Luis Augusto García Rosado, told The Wrap. And the site of the Calakmul, the picture below right, workers for the International Institute of Anthropology and History have discovered rooms inside the pyramid that have never been seen or explored before. And we're letting this documentary film in there to see what has been discovered inside the pyramid. Julia Levy said that she had been made aware of the secret Mayan information by former Mexican President Vicente Fox, a friend of his family, and that it took 4 years of phone calls to finally get the okay from current President Felipe Calderon. This is very important for humanity, not just for Mexico. This information has been protected for over 80 years, and now it's important for people to understand the series of events that are coming and the consequences for us all. Oh, so they're going to show us state-held secrets, huh? Official Mexican state-held secrets that prove that, you know, the Mayan doomsday is real, and then it is, you know, cataclysm. See how they're doing that? Really, they're going to give us a TV show where they're going to allow us to see that, okay, you know, here's what they've been hiding for 80 years. Cataclysms are coming. See how they're doing this? The English language documentary will be directed by Juan Carlos Rufio, whose other films include the 2006 Sundance winner In the Pit, and will begin shooting later this year. Ebert said the filmmakers are talking to investors and waiting for the government to give them the first look at the material and the site. One big condition for the Mexican government was that the film get an initial theatrical release, which is planned for next fall. Oh, so they're gonna wait till the fall of 2012. To roll out the information regarding what the Mexican government's been hiding for 80 years, huh? So fall, that puts it at September, October, you know, somewhere in there, right? December 21st, 2012 is when the Mayans say that, you know, it's the end of days, right? So they're going to wait until you got 2 months. They're going to go, okay, here it is. You ready for this? 2 months before December 21st, they're going to put out, you know, here's the state secrets. We're fucked. We're all going to die. And you got 2 months to prepare. But problem is, it's going to take you longer than 2 months to prepare. Had you known about this 4, 5, 6 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago, you would have had time to prepare. Now you got 2 months. You got no time. You're fucked. It's over. Ha ha. We wait till now to tell you. It wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. Paris airport testing holographic staffers. They've got people that tell you, I mean, we knew this was coming, right? They start repeating. I mean, you'll see that pretty soon. Gone will be the days of the Walmart old blue hair greeter. You'll go to Walmart, and there'll just be some hologram of some old blue hair. How you doing, Senator? Thanks for coming to Walmart today. You're going to be like, Jesus Christ, couldn't you have just gone and got a fucking old person and sat him in a chair? You had to use a fucking hologram? Yeah, you don't got to pay that. You ain't got to feed that. You don't have to house that. This is competing for we had a good one yesterday. But this is competing for best news title or article of the week right here. Hard to beat that one yesterday, but this one comes close. At least maybe a tie for first here. You love seeing an article like this. Bull semen forces closure of interstate ramp. Now you've got to see this. I'm going to drop this in the chat room. I mean, there is just nothing more beautiful in the world than like three firemen in the middle of the road peering over some big canisters full of bull sperm. Oh, fuck, Jim. Is this shit going to blow? Fuck, I hope it doesn't blow all over us. God damn. How am I going to explain that to my wife? I mean, seriously, that's a fucking news article right there. That's what you like to see. Bull semen forces closure of interstate ramp. Canisters full of bull semen caused quite a scare on the on-ramp to the Interstate 65 South Tuesday morning. The canisters fell off a Greyhound bus. What the fuck were they doing? What's a Greyhound bus carrying a bunch of canisters of bull sperm for? Bull nut. Jesus Christ. Where are you going, Tom? Well, I'm going to see my grandma. Really? Where's your luggage? Oh, it's right here. What's that? Oh, it's bull sperm. My grandma loves the stuff. I mean, what the fuck? Who in the God's green fucking acres was carrying bull sperm on a fucking Greyhound bus? I mean, seriously, you guys are not going to offer any kind of an explanation for that. I mean, at least make something up. I mean, give us a story for God's sakes here. Who in the Christ was carrying fucking bull sperm, gallons of the shit, on a fucking Greyhound bus? There's no logical explanation for this. The canister fell off a Greyhound bus just after 5 a.m. as the bus traveled around the curve of the ramp just south of downtown Nashville. Fire and emergency crews were called on the scene amid reports of a foul odor. Yeah, I bet. When they discovered four unmarked canisters with steam and an unpleasant odor coming from them, they shut down the on-ramp and called hazmat crews. Officials traced the containers to the Greyhound after finding bus tickets on the ground. The bus did not know it lost its load, and it continued on. Oh, isn't that cute? You notice how you didn't really slid that in there? You didn't think we'd notice that, huh? This guy ought to be reprimanded for that. Notice how he slid the little sperm reference in there? The bus did not know that it had lost its load and continued on, lost its load. Yeah, it literally lost its load. Authorities called Greyhound, who, after speaking with the driver of the bus, determined the canisters to be filled with straws of frozen sperm packed in liquid nitrogen. The load. Oh, there it is again. Why do you keep calling it a load? Call it a package. Call it something. But why do you keep calling it the load originated in Columbus? This got to be reprimanded. Every turn, he's making sure he gets the term load in there when he's describing these canisters full of semen. I mean, give me a break. That is too fucking funny. The load originated in Columbus, Ohio, was en route to a breeding facility in Laredo, Texas. Oh, I should have known. I mean, of course, the big, you know, gallons of bull sperm were heading to Texas. Where else? Yeah, everything's bigger down here in Texas. Even the containers we put our bull sperm in are bigger. We can't just do with a little, you know, Dixie cup full of bull sperm down here in Texas. Uh-uh. We got to have us some big 50-gallon drums of that stuff. Depending on the bull the sperm came from, straws are worth between $18 and $50 each, according to some experts. It's possible that the load... there it is again. This guy's just hamming it up now. It's possible that the load that fell off the bus Tuesday morning was worth as much as $80,000. That's an expensive load. Once the leaking canisters were deemed not harmful, they were moved to a grassy area next to the interstate. In addition to transporting people, the Greyhound also transports cargo. The canisters were filled with liquid nitrogen and thus could only be transported by ground. Greyhound said the sperm was stored in a separate compartment below the bus and not near the belongings of passengers. Come visit the historic city of Nashville, the city with spunk. That is too fucking funny. Man, oh man, oh man. Let's see here. We are going to take a break, come back, and finish up the show tonight with a little Lost Book of Inky for you. We're going to be jumping into the 11th tablet tonight. Let me find my spot here. Anybody remember what page we were on from the other night? I had it, and then it did its thing, and anybody? 240. John Doe says page 240. Okay. What page am I on right here? 221. Okay. So the synopsis of the 11th tablet. All right, so we'll take a break and come back, and when we come back from the break, we'll get into reading that for you here tonight. This is the Global Reality right here for you on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us.
too. I want to be someone else, so I'll explode. Floating upon the surface for the birds. The birds. The birds. You want me?
With you on the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Going to be getting into chapter 11, or the 11th tablet, rather, on the Lost Book of Enki for you here tonight. Synopsis of the 11th tablet, then the 11th tablet. Interesting stuff. And with all of the talk that we've had already in Lost Book of Enki, with Enki going around and spilling his sperm into everybody, and you know, pouring the sperm and pouring the semen into the womb with, you know, huge, large amounts of it, you know. It just seems odd after the email we read earlier from George where he was talking about the, you know, the different ties in with Greco-Roman mythology and Zeus, and of course Zeus being being another representation of Enki. It just seems odd that you know, because again we had Amy Winehouse during that whole ritual that was happening with the Norway shooting and Amy Winehouse. You can see the video I made on it, and that ritual culminated on that day. The 23rd. So the 23rd of last month, the death of Amy Winehouse, they confirm and come out on when the 23rd, today, on the 23rd, and say that they didn't find anything in her toxicology report. They didn't find any drugs in there. So they drop that clue at exactly a month to the day, and then again on the 23rd, we also have now this massive Greco-Roman type ritual going on where we don't have the death of the bull, but we have the bull's sperm, the bull's semen being spilled like blood. No accident, man. This is a huge, huge, massive ritual going on. You're going to see more and more rituals as we progress farther and farther into the new age. Unbelievable stuff. No, absolutely no accident there. And that's exactly why I covered that story tonight. I saw that and was like, something. It was just a gut feeling, a gut reaction that, you know, I wasn't just covering that story to be funny. There was some kind of, I don't know, subliminal thing going on where I was like, there's something to this. And then of course, you know, get an email from a listener, look at some other news stories, get another email from a listener, look at what I'm looking at. I mean, see, this is what it's supposed to be about. This is everybody's pulling in stuff from everywhere and putting it together, you know. Try getting Alex Jones to do that. He'll just steal your info and not give you credit for it. And act like he came up with it himself. Unbelievable stuff. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com is my email address. TheGlobalReality.com is the web address where this broadcast originates from. TheGlobalReality.com. On the right-hand side of the page, we have the chip-in banner for the month. The bills are coming up due next month. Or next week, rather, for the month. But we just had to pay the stream bill as well. We haven't got a lot in we had enough in to pay the bills, got to get the camera, but right now we're kind of low. So I guess our goal for this week, I don't know, $100 or whatever. I don't know. That's what I guess we'll set the goal at this week. Everybody likes when we set that. So please donate. Use the donate button, Jimmy Banner, whatever you want to use. Please support us because we could use some support right now. It keeps us commercial free, uncensored. We don't have to sell advertisements and have banner ads and all that stuff. And we want to keep it that way. And we can only do that with the support of you, the listener. So please donate if you can. We also have a P.O. box there at the website if you absolutely can't use PayPal, but we prefer PayPal as the preferred payment method for the network. So there you go. Synopsis of the 11th tablet. The Lost Book of Enki. The spaceport's land, Tilman, is declared a neutral zone. It is granted to Ninma, who is renamed Ninurshag. Marduk gets the Dark Lands, the Enlilites, the Olden Lands. Marduk's grandsons quarrel. Satu murders Asar, impregnating herself. Asar's wife, Asta, bears Horon. In aerial battles over Tilman, Horon vanquishes Satu. The Enlilites deem it prudent to prepare another spaceport. Enki's son, Demuzi, and Inanna, Enlil's granddaughter, fall in love. By the way, in the new Ancient Aliens, they seem to indicate a strong connection between, or maybe actually not in the newest one, but the one before last. They seem to indicate strongly that these religious places like the, you know, the Temple Mount and all this stuff, maybe some of these landing pads. They call them landing pads, but they fail to mention in the show that, you know, these Sumerian texts talk about the creation of landing pads in these areas. Some of our listeners have been paying quite good attention to to this stuff and trying to track down some of these locations. I got several messages from listeners last week. We were talking about them creating this, you know, the landing pad and the Hall of Records with the crystals. And it's funny, everything that our listeners found tend to be around these locations, like, you know, places in the Middle East, or, you know, Temple Mount in Israel, or Mount Sinai, you know. Now, wouldn't that be interesting? One of our listeners pointed out that this Hall of Records thing that the Anunnaki supposedly set up seemed to be described as being around the area of Mount Sinai. That would confirm what I've thought since I was a little kid, wouldn't it? Ever since I was a little kid, man, I you know, the Ten Commandments comes on every year around Easter with Charlton Heston. And, you know, he's about to go up on Mount Sinai to get the tablets. And they, I mean, even with that ancient technology, they show this, you know, they show Mount Sinai. It's like glowing red and smoke. It looks like there's a fucking UFO on top of it or something. Ever since I was a kid, I knew there was something that was aliens, that he was going up there and talking to aliens. You know, because there was a whole other set of commandments as well that don't get talked about as much. The seven aphorisms of Summum. And when you read the seven aphorisms, are described, I've read them many times on the show, probably three or four different broadcasts I've read them. But you can look it up, the seven aphorisms of Summum. And the seven aphorisms sound like, supposedly what the seven aphorisms were, they were the other commandments that Moses didn't feel the Jews could handle. And when you read them, they sound like the playbook that the elite use. It talks openly about not allowing yourself and your emotions to be swung like a pendulum, or your beliefs to be swung back and forth, left to right, like a pendulum, but keeping them centered and not getting caught up in either one of those illusions is, you know, the key to success. So the antithesis of that would be what? To keep somebody in a constant state of being swung like a pendulum, right? Left, right, back and forth. And what do they do with politics? Left, right, back and forth. They keep us off kilter. And who's participating in that? Well, as my work into the Council for National Policy has shown, part of the importance of why we have to expose these Council for National Policy connected cronies in the Patriot Movement, research community and stuff, is that exact fact. They're participating in keeping people back and forth in this left-right paradigm stuff while simultaneously claiming they don't believe in the left-right paradigm, but keeping people, oh yeah, I don't believe, you know, how can you, Alex Jones says he doesn't believe in the left-right paradigm, yet vote for Ron Paul. If you didn't believe and support that system, you wouldn't tell somebody to vote for any candidate, because you're still getting people to participate in that phony system, and that is not going to solve anything. And Jones and Ron Paul and all the rest of these clowns know that, and they're just there designed to suck more money out of you and get you to be pissed off when the phony system proves to you something you should already know, that it's not designed for you, and they're just using Ron Paul and that whole thing all over again to get people pissed off, hopping mad, wanting to arm conflict, when they show everybody yet again that the elections are controlled, they're phony, they're fake. But this time they want to use it to get people really hopping mad. That's why these guys need to be exposed. The Inalight team at Prudent to prepare another spaceport. Inky, son to Musi and Inanna, and Lil's granddaughter fall in love. Fearing the consequences, Marduk causes Dumuzi's death. Seeking his body, Inanna is put to death and then resurrected. Inanna launches a war to seize and punish Marduk. The Inlites break into his hideaway in the Great Mount. They seal the uppermost chamber to entomb Marduk alive. So they sealed Marduk inside the Temple Mount, the Great Mount. That's why the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is so holy. Okay. Because they entombed Marduk inside of it alive. Well, you know, religion just makes so much more sense to me now when I read this stuff. Marduk's wife, Serpanit, and his son, Nabu, plead for his life. Ningazita, knowing the Mount's secrets, reaches Marduk, and Marduk is spared his life and goes into exile. Enki and Enlil divide the earth among their other sons. Praise to Ninarshig on earth, the peacemaker. In unison, the Anunnaki proclaimed. During the first shahr after the deluge, Ninarshig managed to cool down the tempers. Near Nibiru, to be resupplied with gold, was paramount over ambitions and rivalries. Slowly, the earth returned to teem with life, with the seeds of life that were prepared by Enki, or preserved by Enki, rather. What by itself survived was augmented on land, in the air, and waters. Most precious of all the Anunnaki discovered were mankind's own remnants. As in bygone clays, when the primitive workers were created, the Anunnaki, few and strained, now clamored for civilized workers. By the time the first shahr after the deluge was completed, the peaceful truce, by an unexpected occurrence, was shattered. Not between Marduk and Ninurta, not between Enki and the Enlil clans, but by Marduk's own sons, the Agigi abetted. When Marduk and Tirpanhat and their sons and daughters on Lamu outweighed the deluge, the two sons, Asar and Satu, took a liking to the daughters of Shamagzag, the Agigi leader. When they all returned to Earth, the two brothers and the two sisters espoused. Asar, the one called Asta, chose. Satu, the one called Nabat, betrothed. Asar, with his father Marduk of the dark-hued lands, chose to abide. Satu, near the landing place where the Agigi dwelt, Shamgaz made his dwelling there. Shamgaz was concerned about the domains on Earth. Where shall the Agigi masters be? So did Shamgaz incite the other Agigi, and of that Nabat to Satu daily spoke. By staying with his father, Asar, the successor alone shall be. The fertile lands he will inherit. So did Shamgaz and his daughter Nabat say to Satu day after day. How the succession in the hands of Satu alone was to retain, father and daughter schemed. On an auspicious day, they made a banquet. They invited the Igigi and the Anunnaki. Asar, unsuspecting, also came with his brother to celebrate. Nabat, his spouse's sister, prepared the tables, and she also set footstools out for them. She beautified herself with a lyre in hand and sang a mighty song to the Asar. Satu, before him, cut choice roasted meat with a salted knife, and Shamgaz, in a large goblet, offered Asar new wine with an admixture that he had made for him. A large vessel, mighty to look upon, with elixired wine he gave him. In good humor was Asar. Merrily he arose and sang. With cymbals in his hand, he chanted. Then, by the admixtured wine, he was overcome and fell to the ground. Let us for a sound sleep take him, the other hosts at the banquet said. But they carried Asar to another chamber and laid him in a coffin. The coffin was tight with seals. They closed it and threw it into the sea. When word of what happened reached Asta, to Marduk, her husband's father, she raised a wailing. Asar was put to his death in the sea's depths and brutally thrown in. Quickly must the coffin be found. They searched the sea for Asar's coffin by the shores of the dark-hued land. It was found. Inside, the stiff body of Asar lay. From its nostrils, the breath of life had departed. Marduk, his clothes rent on his forehead, he put ashes. My son, Tirpanhat cried and wept. Great were her grief and mourning. Enki was distraught and wept. The curse of Cain is repeated to his son in agony, he said. Asta to high heavens raised a wailing to Marduk for revenge in an air an appeal she made. Satu, his death must meet. By your own seed, a successor, let me conceive. Let by your name, his name be remembered, the lineage surviving. This, alas, cannot be done, Enki to Marduk and Asta said. The brother who killed the brother's brother must be the keeper. For this, Satu must be spared. By his seed and heir to Asar, you must conceive. By these twists of fate, Asta was baffled, distraught. The rules to defy, she was determined. Before the body of Asar was wrapped in a shroud in a shrine preserved, from his phallus, Asta extracted the seed of life. With it, Asta herself was made to conceive, an heir and avenger to Asar be born. So she just went over there while his shit was still, you know. Now, fuck it. He's still got some juice in there somewhere. You know, squeeze it in there. To Enki and his sons, to Marduk and his brothers, Satu delivered the word. The sole heir and Marduk's successor am I. Of the land of the two narrows, I will be the master. Before the Anunnaki Council, Asta the claim refuted. With Asar's heir, I am with child. Among the river's bulrushes, with child she hid. The wrath of Satu she was avoiding. Horon, she called the boy. To be his father's avenger, she raised him. Satu was disconcerted by this, and Shamgaz did not retreat from his ambitions. From earth year to earth year, the Agigi and their offspring spread from the landing place unto the borders of Tilmun, Ninarshig's sacred region. They moved closer. To overrun the place of the celestial chariots, the Agigi and their earthlings threatened. In the dark-hued lands, the child Horon, by Earth's quick life cycles, grew to a hero. By his great-uncle Gibble was Horon adopted. By him, he was trained and instructed. For him, Gibble, winged sandals for soaring fashioned. To fly like a falcon, he was able. So he had flying shoes. He's like Icarus or something. For Gibble, a divine harpoon was made. Its arrows were bolts of missiles. In the highlands of the south, he taught Gibble the arts of metals and smithing. The secret of a metal called iron, Gibble revealed to Horon. From it, Horon made weapons. From loyal earthlings, he raised an army. Well, so there you go. So it was these fuckers who were responsible for bringing weapons to mankind and getting us loyal to a cause to fight a war for these gods. Yeah. There you go. Shit just doesn't change. We've known that, haven't we? To challenge Satu and the Agigi northward across the land and river, they marched. When Horon and his earthling reached the border of Tilmun, the land of the missiles, they reached. It's like Kinganair or something like that. Land of the flaming rockets. Satu sent words of challenge to Horon. Between us two alone is the conflict. Let us one-on-one meet in contest. In the skies above Tilmun, Satu in his whirlwind awaited Horon for combat. Horon soared skyward towards him like a falcon. A poison dart at him Satu shot like a scorpion sting. It felled Horon. When Asta saw this, a cry to heaven she sent forth. For Ningazita, she cried out. From his celestial boat, Ningazita came down to save the hero. For his mother, he came. With magic powers, Ningazita converted the poison to benevolent blood. By morning was Heron healed, and from the dead he was returned. Then with a fiery pillar, like a heavenly fish with fins and a fiery tail, Ningazita provided to Horon, its eyes from blue to red to blue, their colors changed. Toward the triumphant Satu, Horon in the fiery pillar soared. far and wide each other they chased. Fierce and deadly was the battle. At first, Horon's fiery pillar was hit. And then with his harpoon, Horon smote Satu. To the ground, Satu came crashing down. By Horon in tethers, he was bound. When before the council, Horon with his captive uncle came, they saw that he was blinded, his testicles squashed. Ugh. Like a discarded jar, he stood. Let Satu, blind and airless, live, so did Asta say to the council. To end his days as a mortal among the Agigi, the council determined his fate. Triumphant was Horon declared, the throne of his father to inherit. On a metal tablet was the council's decision inscribed in the Royal Hall of Records. They placed it. In his abode, Marduk, with the decision, was pleased. By what had happened, he was sorrowed. Though Horon, a son of Asar, was born, from Shangaz, the Agigi, he was descended. A domain, one as the Anunnaki allocated to him, was not given. Having lost both sons in each other, Marduk and Serpanit sought solace. In time to them, another son was born, Nabu, prophecy bearer, they named him. And now this is the account of why in the far away of a new chariot's place was built. And that takes place, let's see what page that, is. 247. So you guys try to help me remember that for the tomorrow show. And we'll pick up right there where we left off. Interesting stuff that's getting farther into this whole the whole changing and creation. Now we're starting to see more and more evidence of that. It's leading up to what we can reference as the building of culture and society on our planet.